Mark chapter 10. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and let's stand. We're going to honor the reading of God's Word tonight. Mark chapter 10. I want us to begin reading tonight at verse number 17. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17, the Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.'" Verse number 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." With God's help tonight, I want to preach a message entitled, "Does My Preacher Love Me?" We're going to find out if your preacher loves you or not. Now, you've heard me make comments before about, you know, if a fella really loves you, it ain't, you know, you think that if a preacher really loves you, he talks real sweet to you, and he, you know, and he'll come by and see you and all that kind of stuff. And if he talks rough to you and says things you don't like, then that means he don't love you. I've alluded to that and talked about that, but what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to show you. We're going to look in the Bible here in a moment at the greatest preacher that ever lived. Does anybody here think there was anybody ever walked the earth that was a greater preacher than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that ever lived. And we're going to look what he did. And he did it because he looked at the fella and he said he beheld him with love. But then he tells him some things. We'll look at that in a moment and get going with it. Brother Mark, would you pray for me tonight? Amen. Please. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Now, we know this is Mark's account of the story of the rich young ruler. And this story also shows up in Matthew chapter 19, and you'll see it also in Luke chapter 18. Now, the part of the passage I really want us to focus on tonight is verse number 21. But before I try to expound this verse to you, I want you to understand what's going on. There is a rich young man, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he inquires about what he needs to do to inherit eternal life. Now, for some people, our Lord's response is confusing because he says nothing to him about believing the gospel. And I want you to know that he hadn't even been to the cross yet. He didn't tell him trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. He hadn't went to the cross yet. I want you to remember this is before the cross, and they are technically still under the law when this man comes and he asks this question. And I also want to remind you when we get in this passage tonight that this is Christ dealing with this self-righteous man, and he's dealing with him in a way to convince him of his unrighteousness and his self-righteousness. So take that into account if there's part of that you don't understand, because we're not going to look at that in the doctrinal aspect of that tonight. But what I do want you to notice is verse number 21. I want you to notice that verse because that's the key verse here tonight. The Bible says, "Then Jesus, beholding him," the Bible says he loved him. He's looking on him and he says he loved him. Now, the answer that the Lord gives this man is given him because Jesus loves this man. He's looking on him. The Bible says what he's going to say to this man. Now, get this now. What Jesus Christ is fixing to say to this man, he says because he loves him. Keep that in mind. And I want to take the words that of Christ as he answered this poor lost young man about obtaining eternal life and look at the words of the greatest preacher to ever live. And I want us to notice how a preacher really preaches if he loves his people. We're going to look at it in the Bible here tonight. We're not going to, you know, I don't want you to take my word for it. And that's just Brother Dennis's opinion. And I grew up with a preacher, and he was always real sweet. He was much sweeter and nicer than Brother Dennis. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something now. We're going to look at three or four components of what he said here to this man. And if your preacher, I don't care if he preached to you for 15 or 20 or 30 years, or whatever he did for you now, if it didn't have some of this in his preaching, he didn't love you. The greatest preacher that ever lived, that he said he looked on him with love, and because of his love, he said some things to him. So we're going to answer that question tonight. Does my preacher love me? And some of you are saying, I sure hope so. I'm going to send him back to Alabama if he don't love me. I don't blame him. All right. First thing I want you to notice about this passage is this. Jesus Christ tells this man nothing but the truth. The Lord tells him, the man, the truth. He tells it straight up. By the way, Ephesians 4:15 says that we are to speak the truth in love. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did here. The Bible says that he looked on him, he beheld him in love. He loved him. And so because he loved him, he told him the truth. If I really love you tonight, if I'm really concerned about your soul, if I'm really concerned about your family, if I'm really concerned about your children, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm not going to preach a thing where you can just, scratch your head and go, man, I wonder what Brother Dennis was trying to say this morning. You're not going to have that problem with me. You may leave and say, I didn't like what Brother Dennis said, but you're not going to have to try to figure out what I said. Listen, he tells the man that he is God, which is true. Verse number 18, because he said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. He's saying, he's calling his bluff. He said, you call me good. You don't even believe I'm God. You don't believe I'm the Son of God. If you call me good, then you got to recognize I'm the Son of God. I'm God. He's telling them the truth. He tells the man that God's word is to be observed and that it isn't optional. Notice in verse number 19, he says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He promotes the word of God. He's quoting the Old Testament. He's telling them the truth about the word of God. If a preacher loves you, he will take a Bible and open it up and show you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday the truth of the word of God, whether he's teaching or preaching. That's how I know my preacher loves me. Not by how many times he visits me or calls me or at the back door, shakes my hand and smiles and grins like a possum eating briars and tells me how good I am. I know that my preacher loves me when he opens that book and he shows me what God put on his heart that we need that Sunday. I know my preacher loves me when he gets on his knees and he prays and he begs God for a message and he knows it's going to hurt some people's feelings, even some people who've been very good to him over the years, even some people that he loves very much, the people he knows that pray for him, and he knows this message is going to upset them, and he knows there's a sub point in there. You go, oh no, if they're here today, and you go, God in heaven, I don't want to hurt these people. These people stuck with me. These people have been here year after year after year. They pray for me. They've been faithful church members. But he puts all that aside and he says, I don't care what kind of opinion they develop of me. If I love these people and I want to help these people, I've got to tell them the truth. Got to tell them the truth. You can't hold back on that. Listen, a preacher that doesn't tell you the truth about sin and about hell and about judgment and about God's commandments, he doesn't love you. He's more concerned about keeping you happy with him than he is helping you. Jesus Christ looked on this man with love, and listen, there wasn't anything false about it. If it said he looked on him with love, he looked on him with love. It wasn't hypocritical. He loved the man, but he told him the truth. And notice this, because he loved him and he told him the truth, Jesus Christ did not change his mind when the young man left sorrowfully. When you read that, the Bible says he leaves sorrowfully. He says, man, I can't do that. I can't sell everything I've got. I just can't do that. I'm a rich man. I want to keep my stuff. Jesus Christ didn't go, well, come on back. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Let's reconsider this thing. I didn't know you was going to get so upset, man. I thought you come running to me. The pastor says he comes running to him. The pastor says he comes running to him and kneels down to him. I thought you meant business. I thought you wouldn't mind a little thing like giving up everything for me. Jesus didn't do that. He just said, well, too bad, boys. You know, it's hard, real hard for a rich man to get into heaven. Pass us all. You can take it or leave it. But I'm not changing the truth according to your reaction. You know why? Because I love you. And the truth is what's going to make you free, not set you free. The Bible says make you free. You've been watching too much Sanford and Son or reading Corrupt Virgins. That's why you think it's set me free. That's right. Corrupt Virgins say some of that. And then Esther, when she's hitting Fred Sanford over the head with a purse, says the truth will set you free. Amen. Y'all don't laugh at me. I know I ain't the only one that's ever watched Sanford and Son in here. Amen. Bunch of hypocrites. All right. So if your preacher really loves you, he'll tell you the truth. Number two, if your preacher really loves you, he's going to give you some instruction. He's going to give you some commands. There's going to be some things that he's going to open that Bible and say, this is what God tells you to do. But so because I love you, I'm going to tell you to do them. Notice six words you find in verse number 21. Just look at verse number 21 there for a moment. That's the verse where Jesus says that he beheld them in love and he loved them. And right after it says he loves them, then notice what he does. Notice the word go, the word sell, the word give, the word come, the word take, the word follow. He's giving them instructions. He's telling them what to do. Folks, it is never and never going to be the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. He tells you what to do. And we ain't going to have some kind of intervention and try to, let's invite all our friends and then get Jesus invited to the intervention. Say, Jesus, you're just taking this too far. You got a problem. We're here to tell you. We're not going to get around a campfire and just, as long as we just get along, it don't really matter what you believe. It really matter what I believe in. And all this, enforcing this stuff on us and, always telling us we need to do this and we don't need to do that. We need to knock this off and we need to start doing that. We're not putting up with that. Then your preacher don't love you. And you don't love the Lord. And you don't love his book. And you don't love his preaching. You don't love his teaching. Why am I feeling a little resistance right now? I'm not saying this in a hard spirit. And I'm not saying anything hard. I tell you why. Because folks are rebellious and you don't want nobody telling you what to do. Hallelujah. Anyhow, even if it's on Wednesday night. I can preach this on a Wednesday night. Bless God. We're just saying joy to the world. And I thank you for doing that. I love that song. Man, that song's got both Advents and the millennial reign in it all in one song. That's a good song, man. You go through the whole thing, man, and joy to the world. There's some instruction. If a pastor really loves you, if a preacher really loves you, he's going to open the Bible and say, this is what the book says, and I'm preaching to you. Now listen. I think you ought to say we every once in a while because I'm not saying that I'm preaching to you and not preaching to me. When I pointed my finger at you, I realized I got 3-pointing back. I understand that. I believe that. But let me tell you, all this we stuff, listen, I've done prayed over this. I've done asked God to forgive me for it before I ever preach it. I'm not preaching to we. I'm pointing my finger and I'm preaching to you. And that's what people don't like. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you that there's some things that book said that you are to do. And you need to get right with God. And you need to listen to the preacher. And I ain't worried about your neighbor. And I ain't worried about your husband that you think ought to be here. Or you wish your children could hear this. Or man, I wish my neighbor or whoever it is that sits across from you that ain't here tonight. And you go, God in heaven, I wish she was here. She sure need to hear that. No, maybe you need to hear it. Maybe it's just right for you tonight. And there's some instructions you need to get. And your preacher don't love you. Listen, if you don't come to church very often and your preacher preaches to you or he teaches something out of this book to you and there ain't some things that he's challenged you to do, he doesn't love you very much. Why, when that book is all full of all kind of commands and things that God wants you to do, why wouldn't a preacher open that book and tell you to do some things if it's full of it? He would do that because he don't want you to get on his bad side. He wants everything to stay smooth. He's more concerned about his paycheck and his retirement than he is your family and your soul. He's more concerned about getting liked on Facebook. God forbid somebody unfriend you or dislike you on Facebook. You can't worry about that stuff. I noticed, maybe I shouldn't say this, but that ain't never stopped me before. I noticed the Sunday after they got me up here and put me in that chair right there and fixed my tie and all my beautiful wife stood behind me and they took that beautiful picture and they put that thing on the website. You've seen that picture when they took it up and put it on the website. Made Darby look real good, made me do the best I could with me. And of all the all the things somebody can say on there, somebody come on there and said, why wasn't he smiling? My sister, I'm not on Facebook. I just see the church's Facebook. My sister's on Facebook, and she seen it and called me and was laughing. She said, what? I started to write in, but I didn't want to bother you. Just got to the church. She said, I started to put in because he ain't got no teeth. That's why he's not. What a thing. I mean, can't you say anything? Can't you say anything about that? Well, he didn't preach good, or he did preach good, or why ain't he smiling?
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
That's why the body of Christ is in the shape it's in. A man comes in and you worry, well, he's got one of his preacher legs up. Brother Dennis's hair's messed up. And you see how he's got that tie. Man, you're bonkers. You're bonkers. You ain't even listening to what a fella's saying. You worried about my teeth. You worried about my hair. You worried about this. Brother Dennis didn't do this. He didn't. Did he brush his teeth? I think I saw a chive on his gum. That's why the body of Christ is in the shape it's in. Who cares how old my suit is or my coat is? Well, that's too big for him. That's too little for him. Man, you can't win. What about what I said that I had this book that you're supposed to be doing? Let's think about that. Amen. Don't worry about my messed up hair. Don't worry about my ugly face. Don't worry about the one big zit right there. Don't worry about my wrinkled up britches and all that kind of stuff. What did I tell you in that book? What did I tell you that book said? You're held accountable for that. And if a preacher loves you, it ain't that he's going to put on a new suit for you. If a preacher loves you, it ain't that he's going to get his teeth fixed for you. If a preacher loves you, it ain't that he's going to get real fancy for you. If a preacher loves you, he's going to give you the same instruction that God gives you out of that book. So you'll do what God wants you to do. And if he don't do that, I don't know what he is, but he ain't a loving preacher. He might be a bunch of things, but he ain't a loving preacher. He don't love you. A preacher that truly loves you will tell you that there are some things you need to be doing. Number three, I tell you what, if a preacher loves you, there's going to be some negative involved in what he says. He rebukes the young ruler here in this passage because apparently he doesn't believe that Christ is the Son of God. We looked at that in verse number 18. And notice what he says here. In verse number 19 alone, four times you see the word do not show up, and then one time defraud not. Look at that. One thing thou likest, go thy way. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. It's negative. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then he tells them this. He says, you lack something. One thing thou lackest. Right after the Bible says, he looks on them with love. He says, you're lacking, boy. We don't like that nowadays. We don't want the preacher to say, you're lacking. Do you know a fella can't get saved till he gets lost? Do you know that I've got to preach to you about your lack? So you'll see you have a need, and then you can get saved. If you don't think you're lacking something, you can't get salvation. You can't get saved unless you know you need it. You can't get saved unless you know you're a sinner. A lot of what Jesus... Listen, I'll tell you this. When you study the preaching of Jesus Christ, he taught and preached way more on hell than he ever did heaven. Why is that? Because we're hard-headed, stubborn people. And he wanted to spend more time warning us than he does telling us about the rewards. And we're going to get on that in a moment. There's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Nobody told you it was a train, but no, I'm just kidding. There's some light at the end of the tunnel, man. But he spent most of his time in the negative. Now you're not going to hear this if you're not listening to Bible-believing preaching. But Bible-believing preachers know this because they're students of the Bible. Majority of that book is negative. It ain't positive. It's talking about the messed up man and negative and sinful and wicked. Listen, any kind of thing you want to think of, you don't have to go to HBO, Hell's Box Office, and watch that filth. You can read about the depravity of man in the book. There's all kind of incest and adultery and rape and murder and torture. A man takes a concubine and cuts her up in 12 pieces and that's any horror movie you want to rent. It's the defilement and the perverseness of man. And that's why it's warning and warning after hell. And then what do? The only man that come in this world worth living, they torture him and lie about him and put him to death. That's why it's negative, and some negative things need to be said to us because we're negative. You know what a negative is? That's anything that's below zero. You ain't a zero, man. You less than a zero. You ever get puffed up? Just think about it. You ain't nothing but dirt. That's why they're going to put you in the ground one day when you die. Your soul go on, your body go back to the dirt. That's why God's going to burn this whole thing up, man. It's messed up. It's cursed. You need to hear that. See, this fellow's messed up. He's self-righteous. Matthew 19:16. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life. That's what Matthew's account says. He said, that what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And when Jesus calls him on the carpet about it, he said, well, you know, you're a rich fella. You've got everything. So Jesus Christ knew what his sin was. And that's what he dealt with. And guess what happens with this preacher? How many of you have ever heard of a preacher like Brother Gwynn or Brother Leonard in there preaching? And now Brother Dennis is in the mix. He's up there preaching. And you think, good night almighty. Did somebody tell him I said that? Did he overhear us? How did he know? Brother, you sitting there, and there's a laser beam on your head, and hopefully it's getting down in your heart, and you just trying to sink down. And the more that preacher preaches, you know what it is? Me and Brother Gwynn and Brother Leonard, they got enough problems of our own. We don't know nothing about you. We ain't trying to investigate. I'm the last one to find out everything. I'm not in the know. By the way, if you're in the know, it's probably because you're nosy. Cotton pickers in the church that know about everybody else's business, they're not usually not right with God. Amen. 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 That's good preaching. But listen, man. Listen, we ain't sneaking around. We don't know nothing about you. You know what we are? We're God's men. Hopefully, we're trying to be, ain't we, brother? And we get on our knees and we say, God, I ain't got a lick of sense. I don't know what these people need. Now, I know what they may have made me mad about, and I know what I'd like to straighten out up here like some preachers do. But I'm not going to do that. That's not my place. This is your pulpit. God, show me what to preach. And God is just smart enough to know what you need. He knows who's going to be here. He knows what the problem is. He knows who comes in here with something in their heart. And he gives me a dose of it. And then when I get up there for the next 25 or 30 minutes, it's a crosshairs on you, buddy, and it's coming out. It's like a repeater gun. And man, I'm just shooting you just as hard as I can. But it's the Spirit of God that showed that stuff to me. And I'm preaching that because we're negative people. And a lot of what we have to say is negative. Jesus, a preacher that loves you will tell you the negative. He will. But finally, here's some good news. Also, a preacher that loves you, he'll tell you the positive. There is a little bit of positive in this passage. Verse 21, that little phrase, shalt have treasures in heaven. After a preacher tears you down, he ought to build you back up. After he takes away all hope, he ought to give you the hope. After he tells you how bad you are, he ought to tell you how good Jesus Christ is. And in that passage, listen, I'm not always just going to come up here with an axe handle and just try to bust somebody in the head. God's not up there in heaven with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head. If there's anybody in heaven that wants you to do good, it's Jesus Christ. Anybody in heaven that's rooting for you, it's God. God will exhaust His mercies to try to help you before He comes down on you. I had a fella fall out with me one time and wrote me a bad note and told me I was on thin ice for God and told me I needed to apologize to my church and how wicked I was and all kind of things he said about me because I stood up before he comes to my church and he was a visitor to a revival service we had. I wasn't even preaching that night, but I made some small talk about the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, you made light of the judgment seat of Christ. You need to repent. You know what I said? I said that if you do your best and you try, if you're not perfect, I believe God, Jesus Christ will reward you. I said, I believe your biggest fan, the preferred person that wants you to do the best at the judgment seat of Christ is Jesus Christ. He wants you to do good. Every time you hear a fellow preach a message on the judgment seat of Christ, we're talking about the wood and the hay and the stubble, and you're going to be naked and you're going to be afraid and you're going to watch everything get burnt up. And that's all true. But why don't anybody ever preach? And I say, I can't believe I'm the one having to bring this out, the negative preacher. Why don't anybody ever preach on the positive aspect of the judgment seat of Christ? I can have gold, silver, and precious stones. I can have crowns to lay down at His feet. I can rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ if I deny myself. Listen, God is going to reward those that do right. And I don't think you have to be perfect to get some rewards because nobody is. There's positive to it. This man thought I was a heretic because I didn't just do like the rest of the Bible believers and just negative, 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 negative on the judgment seat of Christ. I do plenty of negative. You've learned that by now. But man, why don't somebody talk about the judgment seat of Christ like, hey, this is my chance for Jesus Christ, maybe, and hopefully He'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And we'll have some crowns to cast at His feet. And if I blow it at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be my fault. But I don't think Jesus is up there pulling against me, wanting me to do bad at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe He wants all of His children to do good up there. And if I'm a heretic for preaching that, then chalk me up as one. That clown that said that, he ain't never been able to stay in nothing himself, but I won't get on that. Preacher ought to tell you the positive. He ought to comfort you. He ought to encourage you when you need it. He ought to preach to you about heaven. He ought to preach to you about the rapture. Heavenly rewards and riches. I believe he ought to do that. That's what Christ did. So if my preacher loves me, what will he do? He's going to give you truth. He's going to give you instruction. He's going to give you a lot of negative. And then he's going to give you some positive. And if your preacher don't do that, he don't love you. Amen. But Brother Dennis, now he's sweet and he's kind. And he can, okay, all right. Now listen, I'm trying to get out of this thing. I don't want to be mean tonight. But I'm gonna tell you what the problem is. You've got in your mind what a good preacher is, and you've got your list of things that makes a good preacher. I done been down this road. I know. And many of you, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but you're so far removed from the Bible. A lot of the things that you think make a good pastor are things that's not going to last past your death. I hope he'll come. Listen, you ought to come visit. I believe that you ought to visit as a pastor. I believe you ought to be caring and concerned. I believe you ought to counsel as a pastor. When I went on, after I graduated Bible college and went back to school, you'll never believe it, a Bible believer, I went back to school and got my master's in counseling, Christian counseling. Anybody want to just stop by for a chat? Don't I seem like the perfect counselor? I believe he ought to help you. I believe he ought to do that. But he ought to come by, you know, and have coffee with me and cake with me and make his route and all that. I know. I done been in all that. The number one thing you need your pastor to do is to strive in prayer and preach and teach that book to you. Now, he is to do the other things, but his number one priority is to pray and to preach and to teach. And the number one thing you pay that pastor to do is to live right and to keep his heart right and to stay in that book and every single service be ready to get in that pulpit. That's a pastor that loves you. He feeds you. He teaches you. He prays for you. That's his priority. When Jesus is looking on this man and says he looks on him with love, then he goes in and he gives him the truth. And it's negative. And he's commanding them. And he's telling them some things you ought to do. But thank God there's some positive there. He said, look, fellas, you do what I tell you to do, it'll all turn out right anyway. If you preach it from time to time, he needs to instruct you, and if he doesn't instruct you, the whole counsel of God by preaching the negative as well as the positive, he can say whatever he wants to, and he can act as nice as he wants to you, but he doesn't really love you. If he doesn't preach the truth, no matter how hard it is to swallow, then he doesn't love you. Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher and lover of mankind, and that's exactly what he did. So next time you're trying to figure out how much my preacher cares about me, I wouldn't worry about how wrinkled his suit is. Yeah. I wasn't worried about his mannerisms. How many ticks he has, or how many times he rubs his eyes or puts his glasses on. I know I got them. I know it. Yeah, I know you see it. I already know I got it. I'll add a few for you. Do you want to know if your preacher loves you? Will he get up there and will he face me? Sunday after Sunday, will he face me Wednesday after Wednesday and hurt my feelings? That's in return probably going to cause some of you to hurt mine. But I always do it because he loves me and he just wants me to know the truth. If he'll do that, then your preacher loves you. If he don't, I don't know what he is, but he ain't a good pastor. Every head bowed and eye closed.